Hello, all monsters, and welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. I'm your host, Faith, as always, and we have Keith with us today.
Hello again, Faith. Good to be back again.
Good to be back, and nothing else has seemed to be going wrong this weekend, which is nice.
Yeah, that's good. Good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Anthologies are a love of mine in horror films, so yeah, it would be interesting to chat this one, I think.
Yeah, I know you have a really big soft spot for anthologies. That's what I thought. Oh, yes, I'll ask Keith.
Yeah, no, I've always liked them. I mean, I see as many bad as you do good, but, you know, they're a fun format of film I really enjoy.
So would you like to kick this one off?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know, we haven't really discussed how we'll play this, but, you know, I've got a list of some of my favourite anthologies and some that are just kooky films that people need to see or want to put on people's radar, I guess. So, like, obviously, anthology films have been out, you know, around for, I think they've been around in, like, the 30s and 40s when it comes to horror film. First one I remember sort of watching is, like, one of the most famous is Creepshow back in the 80s. That's one of my list of, high up on my list of my favourites. But there's, you know, things from 60s, like Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, which, you know, Roy Castle and Christopher Lee in it. It's really great. 1971's House of Drip Blood, again, another Hammer. Last of Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee in that one. And then, for me, it takes off for me in the 80s, so... Like 1982, we got Creepshow, and obviously, did you come to the screening we did of that one?
I think I was feeling a bit under the weather that day, but unfortunately, it's one of those films that I keep meaning to watch. I've never seen Creepshow in its entirety.
That's an interesting one. It is one of the sort of the most famous ones. George Romero directed and by Stephen King. It's a fantastic. Fantastic film overall. It's got little wraparound segments, and this is one of my favourite things on anthologies is how they knit the three to five stories it normally is within an anthology. How they knit them all together with the wraparound story. I always find that fascinating. And in this one, it's a wraparound story. It involves Tom Atkins and taking the comic book off his son and throwing it in the bin, not letting him watch it, you know, read it. Which actually, a bit of fun trivia on that, the little boy in the this sort of wraparound segment is Joe Hill, son of Stephen King. And and Tom Atkins always joked about, like, he had to spank him and he'd give him a smack when they were filming for the wraparound story, and he was getting threatened by Stephen King if he hit him too hard. I think it's five stories in throughout it. Father's Day is a story about an abusive father. I won't go into too much on this one because if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it for you. But it's a really good one with a famous "I got my cake" line at the end.
About that one.
Oh, you know that one. Okay, yeah, it's great. There's the Lotus of Death with Geordie Verrill, and that's actually played by Stephen King. Involving a meteorite that lands and with interesting consequences. And there's Something to Tide You Over, which is a story basically about a man taking revenge on his wife and her lover, which then backfires on him. The Crate, which has the very famous fluffy sort of razor-toothed ape type creature. And there's Creeping Up On You, which is about, you know, a nasty businessman getting his comeuppance at the hands of a swarm of cockroaches. But yeah, that was the first one I specifically remember watching back in the 80s that really, you know, showed me what an anthology could be and made me fall in love with that format straight away.
You seen the other, it looks like, two or three creep shows, aren't there?
There's actually three, yeah. Creepshow 2, I've seen that. That's got the old Chief Wooden Head story. I haven't watched it for a while, so I didn't rewatch it in the lead up to this either. But so my memory's a little bit hazy. It's got Golden Chief Wooden Head, which is a story around it's a wooden Indian outside a store, which I think witnesses the owner getting killed by someone and goes, you know, to get revenge. Then there's the Raft, which is set in a lake. on a raft, surprisingly enough. And there's a Hitchhiker one as well. But yeah, Creepshow 2 is good. That is, I think that's 1987, so 5 years after Creepshow 1. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Creepshow 3, I've never seen. To be honest, I didn't know it existed until maybe a year or two ago. But apparently it's really, really dreadful. And, you know, that's, I've never bothered to seek it out and try and watch it.
I've never seen any of the Creepshow films, but I would like to see them, sit down and actually watch them at some point. But it's, again, it's one of those things that's like one of the many movies that's on my list that I need to get to.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely highly recommended by me, sure.
I did go and watch the Trick or Treat for one of your viewings at the Crawford.
It's one of my favourites as well. It's on my list. 2009, and great news is that they've announced they're doing a sequel finally, which I hope is, you know, just a similar sort of format, because it works so well. You got this little Sam as the little character that come out of that adorable little horror character, and you've got like three really good stories in there. You got the one about the principal, killing kids and burying them in his garden, and then the Halloween bus massacre, which actually, funny enough, I forgot about that when I rewatched it, and it's quite a tough watch, that one. It's about, you know, a bunch of disabled kids getting killed, and then the surprise party one, which is obviously, Anna Paquin in as the Little Red Riding Hood character.
Yeah. Oh yes,
that was a good episode. All three are very strong segments. When you go through all these different films, a lot of them will normally have, you know, one not so strong, but Trick or Treat's one of the ones that has three strong segments, and it's very, very enjoyable for me.
I liked it. I like the fact that they used practical effects for most of it. Like, it's still, a lot of them still holds up to this day. And I like the selection of actors and actresses they had for the film.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really well done. And it's good for the fact that it brought out another horror character in Little Sam. You know, the sort of pumpkin-headed, sort of sack-headed little monster that's carrying around a sack with him all the way through until he takes his mask off at the end. I've actually got a piece of art by Drew Millard for the film up on my office. It's really nice, and it's focused around that main character.
It's an adorable little bastard, but still terrifying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, another one that you recommended I watch, which is one of the reasons why this episode took so long to try and get into the works, was the Mortuary Collection. Because not only have you suggested it, Rhea had suggested it to me, I don't know how long ago, and I just never got round to it, because I only just got shuddered like a month or so ago.
Right.
I was like, it's on there, I'm going to watch it, and I finally got round to it.
This came through, and I think I was recommended by someone on Twitter, actually, posted about it, and so I watched it when it came out, and yeah, I just fell in love with this film straight off. Again, another one with really good, strong segments throughout, which was great, you know, really good strong segments. So it's sort of like, it's always a segment on its own at the end, but the wraparound story is great as well, isn't it? It's got the, you know, the legend that is Clancy Brown, the mortician looking for hired help. He comes to his mortuary, and, you know, she's there for the actual job, isn't she? And then she goes and looks, she basically wants to see the body of the child. You don't explain why that at that particular point. And that's that wraparound story where it goes to in the end is great. Four or five different segments. You've got segment one, I don't think it was named, it was one of them, pickpocket, wasn't she? She goes to the bathroom to check what she's got in her wallet, what she's been stealing. And she gets to come up, and this is a very strange one, actually, isn't it? By the monster inside the cabinet, and that's the first of the stories that Nancy Brown's telling this girl who's come for the job, you know. And she says, it's okay, but it's not strong enough. And then they go into the Unprotected, which is the one about the college students, and they're trying to give out condoms to girls getting to come to a party, and yeah, basically it's a whole role reversal, that one. And I really like this sort of role reversal of that, in terms of saying, you know, guys will have unprotected sex with women and not have any worries about it, because it's a woman who carries a potential, the female that carries a potential of being becoming pregnant. And so as a result of, you know, the so nice behaviour of the good-looking college student in having unprotected sex with a girl, gets his comeuppance in that as well, doesn't he? In a rather disgusting way.
What a grotesque way, yeah. It was one of those moments where I was kind of like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then you see, and it's like, it's the fact that you see his yeah. genitals explode, and it's just kind of like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a good one. It was really funny. Second, or the third segment, then it'd be Till Death Do Us Part, which is, you know, it's a sad one, isn't it? About, you know, a very happy married couple, someone gets some sort of really terrible, debilitating illness. You know, the guy's looking after me, and you see all the happiness they have beforehand, and then the sadness they've got now, which he's basically catatonic. He doesn't even know if she can hear him. And, you know, he takes upon himself to do a sort of a humane death for her. And it turns out she's not dead. And then obviously everything that goes on after that is just fantastic. The whole scene in the lifts is hilarious.
Oh God, yeah, that was quite, I was like, oh God, how far is this going to escalate? How far is this going to go in the lift? It's like, oh God, yeah. it gets worse.
Yes, no, that's great. And then we obviously go to the sort of, the girl starts telling Clancy the story, then the Clancy Brown character, the mortician. I forgot her character's name, actually, so I'll just call her the girl for now. But she starts telling a story, and it's the whole Babysitter Murders, it's called, a segment, which I'm sure is a nod to Halloween, which was the original working title for John Carpenter's Halloween. It's a story about, you know, an escaped lunatic from an asylum. And it's on the news. It starts with this girl in a house meeting herself dinner, and guys and the kids in his bed, what have you. And then this crazy-looking guy comes in, you know, and you think this is this escaped lunatic. But then you have, you know, obviously, you know, it's just such a wonderful sort of twist in it, where the twist is that the guy is actually the babysitter, the escaped lunatic. It's a young girl, what's cooking in the oven. It's a child that he was meant to be babysitting. Yeah, I love that sort of twist, and that's what I say about that wraparound segment. I sort of include that as part of that, because it's still his story before it goes back to her then becoming the mortician herself at the end of the film. Yeah, that segment's just fantastic. I just think it was a very strong film all the way through. And again, no bad segments, but with a real standout one in the Babysitter Murders.
I really enjoyed that one. I mean, each story, I like the fact that each one had a moral story behind it, whether it's like a really short one or like an extended one. I mean, the first one where it's like the octopus tentacle hentai thing coming out the bloody wind, the mirror thing.
Lovecraft.
I really liked that one because it was just one room.
Yes.
And they told a whole story within like a space of like 5 minutes within a room, and it was kind of like, moral story is don't put your nose where it doesn't belong, and it's just kind of like, I like that.
Yeah, no, it was good, and it's not like a really long, it's only a short segment, isn't it? A really quick segment, but that's purposely done because it's a fair story, and that's why what links all these tales together is Clancy Brown's character's telling the young girl stories. So you start off with like a weaker one, a small one, before it builds into the good ones, more to them.
Like, I loved it. It was just, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Like with the Carol story, where it's like the happily married couple and wife that's like catatonic.
Yeah, that is the sad one, isn't it? It's really sad because, like, he's trying to do the best, and he thinks he's got no quality of life, and he's asking for a sign from her. And too late, he gives him a sign, but, you know. And then, obviously, the hilarity and the way she dies is just amazing.
Oh, it just escalates. Yeah. It's like a Final Destination scene.
It is. It's such a very good comparison. It is very much like a Final Destination moment, isn't it?
Mm. But I like the colour palette and the whole sort of like the style of the film in, like individually and as a whole. Like it's just really colourful, but still quite gloomy.
I know, yeah. As I said, I'm glad you got to see it before we did this because it is. It's always been we're only 3 years old now, or 4 years this year, but it's such a good film and it goes under people's radars because it's not, you know, had a big fanfare release or anything. But as you say, if you've got Shudder people and you haven't seen it, we really recommend that you watch this one because it is so good.
I definitely recommend it as well. So thank you, and thank you, Rio, as well, for suggesting them. Took me long enough, but I got there in the end.
I guess, another film I watched, again, on the sort of revisited, actually, it's probably the first time I revisited since I was a child, was Twilight Zone, the movie from 1983. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
That's, again, I was really surprised how well that held up. It's actually got some really strong cast and directors again. You know, it starts off, the opening segment, the wraparound segment is done by Max Landis. Not Max Landis, sorry, the wrong one. He's a cancelled one. John Landis. John Landis, who obviously did Trading Places and American Werewolf in London. You know, he's done lots of big films, John Landis. And you've got one directed by George Miller, one directed by Joe Dante. I can't remember who directed the other one now, off the top of my head. Yeah, you've got the sort of wraparound stories, two guys going along and they're talking about the Twilight Zone movies, sorry, the Twilight Zone TV show, which is quite fun because, you know, it's very self-aware, talking about the different episodes. It's got, again, I won't go into much, but it's got, you know, a famous line from that was, do you want to see something really scary? And that then, you know, leads to a moment in there, and it's also, it's a moment at the end of the wraparound story as well, which is quite cool. So I won't give too much away in that, but really good. You've got different segments again. Obviously, you've got, I'm trying to think what the first segment's called. I think segment one, I can't remember what it's called, Time Out or something like that. So basically it starts with a guy and some guys in a bar, and it's actually a face. I'm like, God, I don't know if it's held up now, but then when the storyline develops, it does make sense. You know, it's actually, we'll come back to the sort of the moralistic side of the story again. It's another one that's based on, you know, a moral tale. So this guy walks into the bar and he's complaining about, and he's being very, very racist. There's a table of black people next to them, and he's using the N-word a lot. He talks about Jews. I think he calls them the K-word for Jews, and then the K-word for sort of Vietnamese people. So, you know, he's using really bad racial slurs, and that's what, just because you're not used to hearing that in movies, you know, as much as you did in the 80s, it's very in your face when you're first listening, when you're first watching. But then what actually happens then is he walks out the bar, and as soon as he comes out the bar, he finds himself in Nazi Germany. So he's getting chased down by the Germans, and that's obviously, he's getting this comeuppance for, you know, his racial abuse towards Jewish people. Then he gets out of that, and he comes into another place, and he finds himself surrounded by the Ku Klux Klan. So, it's, you know, they're trying to kill him by hanging. So that's his comeuppance for being racist towards black people. And then when he gets out of that, he wakes up back in in Vietnam. He's getting chased down by soldiers then again. That's his comeuppance for his behaviour towards, you know, race. And it was interesting because I was surprised to think that actually in 1983 someone was doing a segment on a film, and, you know, because I grew up in that period and God, racism was everywhere, it was all over TV. To know that people, and especially in America, to know that someone was actually saying it's bad, you know, it's wrong to be a racist, you know, showing a moralistic story of what happens to people who are racist, you know, it ends badly for them. So that was, it's an interesting segment just for that alone. It's again, I don't want to go, that gives you a good outline of that one, but I don't want to go through everything that happens because I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't seen that one. There's a good one. Next one is called Kick the Can. It's about setting up old people's home. it's all about, you know, people who are older, you know, they could, you know, on the last leg, sort of ready to pass away in a retirement home. And then someone comes in who can make them younger again. They wish they were younger again. They go and be younger for a little while. But then, you know, they get the opportunity to stay young. They, you know, they don't want to. They realise they don't want to. And it's just an interesting thing. It's a story about how people feel about growing older. Again, I won't get too much on that. And then the next segment is called It's a Good Life. And this one's a good one. I remember, I did actually remember this. I think this is a Joe Dante one. So this one is like ladies going across America where she pulls into a diner as a kid being talked to pretty roughly by some of the, you know, locals or what have you in this diner. So it's actually got Dick Miller in this one, which is no surprise because he's worked with Dante on other films like Gremlins, for instance. Yeah, so as she goes, leaves the diner. He accidentally backs a car into the bike that this kid's on, so he asks about a lift home. Get a lift home, and it turns out he's some sort of he's got this, you know, amazing power that you can wish for anything and it'll happen. And he's just, so basically he's got his house he lives in with all the people, he's got them trapped and, you know, in fear of death for him. So, but it's a really good one. It's got some really good monsters in, little monster creature bits in it, which made me laugh. It was like really, you know, really fun, very 80s. The final segment of that one is called Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. This is John Lithgow, a very young Lithgow. And he is on a plane, but he's you know, he's got a real fear of flying. And while he's on that plane, there's like this gremlin, I guess, on the wing of the plane, trying to bring it down. But yeah, and you know, I don't want to go into how that goes, but it's a fun one again. And it goes then when it ends up that segment, it goes back to wrap around story, and you get to see Dan Aykroyd's character again. So yeah, all in all, it's a really good film, really fun. And I couldn't believe I hadn't watched it in so long, and it held up the film itself, you know, all these years later.
Well, I've heard about the Gremlin one, the Gremlin on the plane one, because I've seen like so many clips of that particular one where he's like freaking out and looking out the window.
It's the one.
Have you ever heard of the anthology called Little Deaths?
Little Deaths? I don't think I have that one. No, I don't.
It's a bit of an obscure one because it's kind of like a horror sex themed anthology. Okay. So it's a UK-based one.
Okay, and no, it's,
how was it? There's three stories. There's no, like, overarching story for all three of them, but they're just kind of, like, individual ones. The first one's about, like, a couple that are pretending to be, like, helping homeless people, and it just kind of... I won't go into too many details. It's an interesting one, that one. Second one was kind of about how sex addiction and wanting that form of connection with other people can be addictive in itself and overstimulating for some people. And it kind of, it gets twisted into like a physical form at one point. The third one is a somewhat toxic couple that one of them is trying to present that really they both want what's going on in the relationship, whereas the other person is like, this isn't about us, this is about you. But he's trying to be the supportive person, but he knows that he's kind of, it's never going to be that way. But it's never going to be like an equal thing for either of them. So it's an interesting one. I mean, I can lend you the DVD for it, because I watched it for the first time the other week, and I was a bit like, ah, okay.
I'll be able to see if it's on. I'll have a look if it's online on any of the streaming sites. Most films normally are now. How old is it?
I think it came out in like 2010.
Okay, so it's not that old. Well, I'm sure, but I'll have a look and see if I can see it on the streaming site or not. Maybe I'll take you up on that offer. It's interesting. When I was looking through the films, I realised I've got one more to talk about from the 80s. I've got sort of 80s. Nothing really. I don't think I've got anything on my film list from the 90s. But I do have film, Bunty of Anthologies, based around 90s horror, which we could talk about in a bit. But yeah, it's interesting. I jumped up like from 80, well, you know, the 60s, 70s, but started really where my journey began, the 80s. I just seemed to skip the 90s completely, whether anthologies and horror wasn't as big a thing or just missed them out, which is probably more the case. Because when you cover a big subject, as we've done before, you always miss out something. You always miss out something that you'll regret not talking about later.
It's always something. Like, you just, Matt and Tom's asked to have like messaged each other. Like, oh, I forgot to mention this film.
Yes, exactly. That's it. Like when we did the looking forward to the films, we mentioned Skinamarink, which was on my list, but never mentioned it. But you know, I wish I hadn't watched it now either. As well, I'm totally on the side of the people who just didn't get along with that film. But I was speaking to someone last night who really loved it. So you know, it's definitely a polarizing film out there on in terms of horror fans' thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's definitely divided a lot of people. Like, so many people have gone, yeah, I quite like it, and there's other people that are like, God, I hated it.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's a digress and taking us off track there. Apologies. And I guess the only one I wanted to talk to about from the 1980s is one I only discovered about 3 years ago through my friend Graham Humphreys. He told me about this film, said I had to watch it, and if anything, just for the song that's going through it. So, and I'm not going to tell you too much about it. It's just called Night Train to Terror. Now, I know Vinegar Syndrome, the release of it, and I know if you'd go on YouTube, it's there to play the full version of it in a, you know, a good quality format, so to like a Blu-ray format. So I don't know, that must be from the Vinegar Syndrome release, I can only imagine, because it's clean and nice. But this is the wraparound story on this is like God and the devil on God and Satan are on board the train. They're sort of bartering for the lives of the people on the train, the souls of the people on the train, and the souls of other, you know, that's what links the stories. So each one's is like got the same similar sort of style name. So the first one's called The Case of Harry Billings, the second one's called The Case of Greta Connors, and the third one's called The Case of Claire Hansen. A lot of it, you know, again, there's a lot of morals in the story, like, so that, you know, some people are doing things that are bad, but they were dragged into it rather than, they were doing it purposely. So it, I guess that's what the idea is. Why, who should have the soul? Did they really mean to be the bad person, or were they forced to do it and therefore should go to heaven rather than hell? That was interesting. And there's one called Case of Claire Hansen. You've got to see this, because not only is the song on about going on board the train just incredibly 80s and funny, and yeah, just I've never seen anything like it in a film. But also, it's got some stop motion in this Ace of Claire Hansen episode, and it's just hysterical. It's so funny. It's like really bad stop motion. It's not, you know, this is no Ray Harryhausen. And it's almost so bad that there's like, see, and it's got this giant sort of insect creature thing. I'm not going to go too much into detail. But when when it's meant to be killing or doing something to one of the characters, the main actors, they switch the main actor out for like a clay version of himself, but it's just so badly done. It's just such a good watch. I mean, the film itself, it's fine, it's fun, but it's like, it's a really enjoyable watch just to see some of the, like, I mean, I imagine it must have been really low budget, but some of the claymation stuff in it, the stop motion animation is horrific. It's just worth it just to watch that.
I love how there's just some films you watch and it's like, oh God, that bit was just a bit,
I mean,
somewhat visually haunting.
Yeah, this one, it goes absolutely batshit crazy, to be fair. And yeah, I think you'd actually really enjoy it. I think just for how crazy it is, and there's some horrifically bad acting throughout it, but you know, it's actually enjoyable. It's, and I'm not selling it really well here. I'm not kind of making it out to be a really good watch because it is. I really enjoyed watching it. I watched it a few times. Yeah, I just, if you want to, if you can't get hold of the Vinegar Syndrome, at least you could see it on YouTube. I presume it's okay to be on YouTube because it hasn't been taken down.
A film that I watched recently called Bad Candy, I'd recommend watching that one because it's like, it has the overarching story, but it's like, the individual stories are really interesting as well.
Okay, I'm not watch that one. I did start watching, actually, funny enough, because, you know, I know how you like to watch, like, Amazon Prime, like, weird-looking films, and I didn't get to finish it, unfortunately, because I was just so busy. And then we came around to recording. There's one on Amazon Prime called Dead Time Stories. I don't know if you've seen that pop.
I need to watch that one.
I've got it. I started watching it. It was, you know, it was pretty cheap, and it was, again, another 80s one. But it looked interesting. At least it looked like a, you know, it'd be worth finishing off. But I didn't get to finish it. But I did only watch that because I thought, I'm expecting Faith's going to watch this because to be able to talk about one.
It is on my watch list at the moment. I need to sit down and have a gander at it at some point.
Do you ever see a film called The ABCs of Death?
No, but it's one of those films where I'm kind of like, I'm oohing and aahing about watching it, but I'm not. I've heard so many like different opinions about it.
I mean, I didn't really particularly think it was great. I think it's an interesting concept. I mean, but when you're trying to fit in 26 shorts, no, you're not going to be full of quality. There's a couple of funny ones, and you know, again, it's an interesting concept. And I think the best part of that was when I watched it a good few years ago with my wife, that we were sort of more enjoying guessing what the next letter was going to stand for, rather than actually enjoying the segments themselves. But yeah, at least that's one what's worth, you know, and just for the interesting concept of trying to do 26 different. Or short in an hour and a half film after every letter of the alphabet. It for me it wasn't great.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, but for me it wasn't great. But you know, I know some people who do like it.
I mean, if you don't really enjoy it, if you turn it into a drinking game, can't you? Yeah, it's like if you guess the right word for the next letter, like
yeah,
you're fine. If you get it wrong, you have to take a shot or something.
Exactly. Yeah. That sort of thing could be good laugh with. It's been up there with popular new series. Have you seen most of the VHS films yet? There's like
the first one is actually on my list as Event. Well. The Amateur Night, which is I think the first segment, was my favourite one.
Okay,
so it actually got turned into a full feature.
That's
a Siren. Siren,
yeah,
in 2016.
Siren, that's right. Yeah, I haven't seen Siren. I didn't rewatch VHS 1 because I went through all the other VHS and I was VHS out by the time I got round to going backwards to the first two, because I know I didn't like VHS 2. I know that for a fact. Is that one Amity Night? Is that the girl, like, and she's got like really big eyes and she's saying I love you or something?
That's the one.
That's the one, yeah.
Whereas wearing the glasses with the camera built into the frame.
That's right. She's really quite freaky, isn't she? I remember being liking that particular segment back then. It didn't blow my mind, but I said, yeah, I've actually got my notes on it. Or it was okay. It didn't blow my mind, but it had one good segment in it. And that is the one good segment I remember, Amateur Night, yeah, because it was just she was quite a creepy looking character.
I mean, I love how that was. I think that was the main one that a lot of people remember it for, because it was just so creepy, and the fact that really, you know, you can get. I mean, you can go online and buy like spy cameras, but I think it was like one of the first films that actually used them as like a recording device for film.
That's right. I think the whole VHS series, the whole suffered. The same way the first one does. Just, I mean, they're really popular, right? A lot of people love them, so, you know, it's not to say just because I didn't get along with most of them that it's a bad series, because they've made, well, I think it's five now, and they've got another one coming. But I think virtually everyone had, like, one or maybe two good segments in there. As a whole, it wasn't working. You know, there was some pretty poor stuff as well. I went through VHS 99 first, then watched VHS 94, which, you know, both of them had some strong segments, but a couple of good segments. One had a really good segment as well. I think it was 94 had a really good segment in it. And then I tried to watch VHS Viral and I couldn't even, I found that unwatchable. I had to turn it off. It was just so bad. And then one of the things about the VHS series, and I get the idea, is that it's all done on, you know, 90s sort of recording equipment. So you used to get, you know, you'd get a video from the video shop and sometimes you'd have to fix the tracking or whatever because the tape quality wasn't great or what have you. But just like, I got bored of that sort of grainy, same, crackly thing going on in every segment, and it just becomes, and with VHS Viral it actually became unwatchable. And they were doing, I remember, you know, videos back in the day, VHS having that issues with regard to tracking, etc. And you know, quality of the tape wouldn't last forever. But I think with VHS Viral it was almost going, having tracking problems and then going to a test screen. And I don't know about you, but I never had that issue with any just normal VHS tapes back in the day. So that didn't even work for me with that sort of play on the quality of the image. And I just felt there was too much of that throughout the whole thing, which started to make it, you know, frustrating to watch, I guess. And that was just my opinion on that series.
I did find the video effects a little bit annoying after a while. It's like, okay, we get it. It's not the best quality.
You could do it every now and then, you know. Just don't do it like all the way through. It gets a bit silly then, a bit annoying. Yeah, but I did. I'm glad I went back and watched them, because there was obviously three of them I hadn't watched. I still haven't watched much of VHS Viral. But at least I can, you know, form an opinion on them now. It's interesting to catch up and see where the series has gone. I can't remember the name of the new one they've got. I think they've got another one coming out this year. So I'll be interested to see what they do. See if it's still set in the 90s and still uses the same track and problems sort of effects on it.
Oh, I can't keep up to date with the VHS movies now. I mean, it's kind of like the, what was it, Paranormal Activity. I can't remember how many there are now, and it's like, I can't keep up with the names either.
There's lots. I'll tell you what, I did watch that. You'll be able to watch now. You've obviously got Shudder. Fun, but a bit samey, I've got to be honest. Scare Package, and there's also, which came out in 2020, Scare Package 2, Chad's Revenge, which came out in 2022. And they are the fun, actually. They're a fun riff on 80s, mainly 80s horror. It's actually got some, like, proper laugh-out-loud moments, which I really enjoyed. But I felt it, you know, both films just would tread the same jokes too often, I felt. But it definitely, if you just, you know, sat around, want to watch, it's a fun little anthology, and it, you know, takes a mickey out of slasher films and that type of thing. And you know, the Saw series gets piss taken out of it, which is also funny. But it just felt it used the same jokes too many times for me. But I still enjoyed watching them.
I'm on my Shudder list at the moment. I also want to watch Horror Network, which I do have on DVD, but again, I haven't got bound to it. There's Double X, and what was the other one? Your time has run out.
I don't know. I've got a lot on my phone there. Let's turn it off.
Yeah, Horror Network, Double X, and Holidays as well.
Thanks. No, I've not actually seen any of them, so I can't let you know what I think of them. I did, so a few that I didn't mention that on my list to say was Tales of Halloween. That was one I watched a few years back, and it was again, it's a bit like everyone saying about VHS, you know, I had one or two decent segments in. Overall, not great. Another one I have got on my list to mention, and I think, I don't know if this is on Shudder or Prime, but a film called Southbound. Have you ever seen this one?
No, but I know there's a Northbound as well, and I need to watch both of those.
I didn't know there was a Northbound. That's interesting. I'll take that out, because Southbound's really good. 2015, I don't know who the directors are in this, I just remember the film. And the way they link is, I think at the end of each one, sort of what somebody or some character from the last episode linked into this to the next episode. Yeah, and I think it's that it's another one that has, you know, all were pretty strong segments, and didn't feel like there was too much filler.
There is a film that should be coming out. I don't know if it's out already, but it's coming out soon. But Maiko, MJ, and Anna Dixon, they make horror films in Milton Keynes, and one of the films that's supposed to be released out that they're doing is called Horoscopes, which is like a short film based on like each Zodiac character.
Okay. As in the signs of Zodiac, Pisces, Capricorn, each mm-hmm. segment will be based on that. Okay.
I need to see if that's out yet or not. I just need to look on their Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not really. You did introduce me to these films, and I've not got round to watching any of them, so I will take some time at one point to look it up as I should do with it. Interesting that, you know, there's been a run recently of anthology stuff, so we talked about the Mortuary Collection, Scare Package and Scare Package 2, then there's some of the VHS stuff has been recently released as well. Got another one coming out this year. Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities 2, which is a series, but it's an anthology series with him introducing each one, a bit like Hitchcock Presents, I guess. I enjoyed that. Some much stronger than episodes than others. There's another one I started watching on Netflix, but I haven't really included it because I only watched one episode, and it was School Tales, it's called, which is Southeast Asian horror set in a school. Each episode is a different horror story that happens within the school, so it looks interesting at least. It seems that there's, and obviously we've got the new Trick or Treat film coming as well, so there's been a bit of a run of anthology horror recently.
I'm really looking forward to the sequel. So, I mean, the first one, very dear to my heart. So the sequel, I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Sam come back.
Yeah. Trick or Treat is, for me, I think I watch it every Halloween. At some point, I will watch that over the Halloween period because I just enjoy it so much. And it feels like a really good Halloween movie because it's got, it's set on Halloween night. And it gives you, all the kids going around collecting the sweets, etc. It just feels, the right film to watch Halloween. Probably one of my favourites, for sure.
I haven't got any others on my list.
No, I didn't, because I went through a few enough. There was a lot of, very mundane ones, because like any horror genre, you've got good and you've got bad. But I just brought to the table what I thought were some of the more interesting ones, and to talk about some of the bigger series as well. So yeah, I think that's me pretty much done. I'm just looking through my list now, and I think we've mentioned everything.
Okay, as always, it's been lovely recording with you, and where can people find you?
So, yes, we're still in the same places as we were last time, which is on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, MK Horror Club on Instagram, MK Horror on Twitter, and MK Horror Dot on Facebook, because somebody else has got the MK Horror name for something else completely different. We are available online at mkhorror.com. If you sign up to our newsletter, that's where we'll be given the details of our next screenings. We will be back at the Crawford Arms on the last Saturday of February, which, let me just check that day. That is the 25th of February, and we will be screening The Exorcist 3 ahead of our gallery screening at MK Gallery following week of The Exorcist Director's Cut on the 4th of March.
Fantastic. I hope more people turn up to it, because it's kind of like, oh yes, it's nice to see other horror fans there.
Yes, yeah. It's always fun. Just come along to the Crawford, get yourself a beer or a coffee, whatever you want, and just sit and watch a horror film for free, and then chat about it afterwards.
Why not? Have a laugh, have a drink.
And if you haven't seen, The Exorcist 3, it's great. You don't have to have seen The Exorcist 1 even. It's just a great standalone film. It doesn't get it. Very well known for having one of the biggest jump scares of all time as well.
Oh, yes, yes. Even I know what the jump scare is.
Yeah, I think that's unfortunate because it's really known for so long ago. If you haven't seen The Exorcist 3, you've probably seen that scene because, yeah, I did watch that when I was a child. It came out. I nearly felt I was watching it on my own in my bedroom. And I nearly fell off my bed watching that. So that actual scene happened, frightened the life out of me.
God. But yeah, you can find Caffeinated Monsters on Instagram, Facebook, and the Slasher app. We do have merch on Redbubble and Spreadshirt and T-Mail. And if you're interested, we are on Patreon as well. So you can join for watch parties each month. You can suggest films and subjects. And you can just have a general chat with us, which is always lovely. But yeah, always you can leave us a review, just have a chat with us, and just share the episodes. It's much appreciated.
Great. Well, thank you very much, as always. And hopefully I'll see you again in the Crawford soon or somewhere else. Not the Fox and Hounds anymore, but in the Crawford or at a screening or if you get yourself to MK Gallery for The Exorcist.
Oh, definitely. If I can't make it to the gallery, I will definitely make it to the Crawford.
Fantastic.